We have our first four quarter-finalists after an enthralling night of knockout stage UEFA Champions League football. There was drama at Anfield, where it took extra time and penalties for Paris to squeeze through against Liverpool. It was more comfortable for fellow big hitters Barcelona, Bayern and Inter, a formidable four into the last eight. We'll review it all and look ahead to Wednesday's last 16 second legs over the next 30 minutes or so. Along, I'm Chris Parrott, and what a start to an enormous week of Champions League football. The confirmed round of 16 second leg results on Tuesday. Barcelona 3, Benfica 1, Barca 3, 4-1 on aggregate. Inter 2, Feyenoord 1, Inter 3, 4-1 on aggregate. Leverkusen 0, Bayern 2, Bayern 3, 5-0 on aggregate. And Liverpool 0, Paris 1, 1-1 on aggregate. Paris winning the shootout by 4-1. And we are, what, 5 or 6 minutes after full-time, and they are still quite literally dancing on the pitch and in the stands in front of their supporters. Gianluigi Donnarumma, ultimately the hero. Great scenes of celebration, though, for the French champions who are dreaming in 2025, remember, of winning this trophy for the very first time. To talk through this game and an epic night of football, I'm joined by the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, and commentator Phil Blacker. And Jenna, we can see Luis Enrique, he's got an enormous smile on his face, and well he might. I mean, a dramatic ending, and for Paris, ultimately, a fantastic one.
Yeah, a huge, huge night. I mean, it feels like a game worthy of a final, doesn't it? And I think maybe they're feeling a bit of justice after the first leg. You know, they've got it over the line, but you know, two nights of unbelievable football, world-class football, and yeah, they're out there celebrating. Anfield is such a hostile place to come to play in, especially in, you know, Champions League nights, and they've done it. They had to suffer at moments, they had to defend a lot, they threw their bodies on the line. I thought towards the closing stages of the match, to me it looked like they were edging closer and closer. You know, they started to find that bit of momentum. So, yeah, I mean, unbelievable scenes for Paris.
Yeah, Anfield has emptied, apart from the 3,000 travelling supporters who can look forward to the quarter-finals. And this is how. Jenna was alongside Phil for a sensational night of football on Merseyside.
Slide teasing that one in towards Alexis McAllister, cuts it back behind Diego Jota, came for Mo Salah, and it's just over the top. It was deflected over the bar in the end when it fell the way of Mohamed Salah, just as Liverpool would have wanted it to. Bradley Barker inside the penalty area, trying to return it the way of Dembele. Can he get the touch to it? He can! He's turned it in! And it's the equalising goal in the tie. The in-form Ousmane Dembele strikes first at Anfield tonight for Paris, putting the pressure on Alexander-Arnold, and now Liverpool have lost it in midfield. Kvaratskhelia failure opens up for him on the charge. Options either side for Paris, slips it through for Bradley Barker. He got in behind the defence, but he couldn't get the better of Alisson. He saves at the feet of Barker just when it seemed he was set to score. Picks the pass for Trent Alexander-Arnold to have a hit, and straight at Donnarumma. Down goes Szoboszlai in the middle. Alexander-Arnold off the inside of the post, comes back to him, finds Szoboszlai, who scores. But the flag is up, and the celebrations cut short before they'd ever started. So McAllister's corner, in it goes. Luis Diaz, brilliant save. Donnarumma to his right, got his right hand to it, a really strong right hand to it, to claw it out from right on the goal line. The whistle goes at the end of the 90. They've gone toe-to-toe, they've gone head-to-head, and they have not been separated over the two legs. 1-1 in the tie, which goes to extra time. In towards Doué, trying to turn, trying to get the shot away. He did both, and it's whistled just wide, only just wide, of Alisson's right-hand post again. I'm not quite sure how that one stayed out. And now Vitinha dancing into a little bit of space. He has Dembele here inside the penalty area. Dembele trying to curl one towards that far corner. And it's another excellent save from Alisson down to his left to get a strong hand to it and to turn it away. So there is nothing to separate them on aggregate. Both goalkeepers have had huge games over the course of this tie. And now one of them will get the chance to be the hero, because Paris have won at Anfield tonight, but it's ended all square on aggregate after extra time, and we go to a penalty shootout. And Paris Saint-Germain are one kick away from the quarterfinals. Doué steps up and scores and sends Paris Saint-Germain through. They've won at Anfield. They're into the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
A breathless night. You heard it all there. There were 38 total attempts, which means 68 total attempts across the two legs. Phil, you called it brilliantly. Amazing to think that the goal in the 12th minute from Ousmane Dembele was the only one which was scored. And as we heard you mention there, it felt apt going into the shootout that given their performances over the two legs, either Donnarumma or Alisson was very likely to have the one of the final saves, and it transpired that way, and it was Paris Saint-Germain's number one.
It was set up for one of them, wasn't it? Alisson, the player of the match in the first leg, and Donnarumma taking those honours in the return and ultimately taking his team through with those saves in the shootout, but so much more that went before. Big part that he played, of course, in getting them to that stage. Worth remembering, Liverpool had never previously gone out of a European two-legged tie, having won away from home in the first leg in their history. It happened 37 times previously, and they'd gone through on all 37 occasions. And with the exception of that 1-0 defeat that they suffered to Nottingham Forest in the Premier League way back when, early in the season, they'd scored at least twice in every home game in any competition this season. And somehow Paris found a way to stop them from scoring. So many nearly moments for both sides. You mentioned the 38 total attempts. How there was only one goal, I'm not sure. But also 20 of those attempts actually came from Paris. There were long spells in the game when they were on the back foot. They were being forced back by Liverpool. Anfield expected and anticipated, and it never quite happened for the home side. But this wasn't just a defensive job from Paris. You know, they, and I certainly think they finished the stronger in extra time as well. They felt that they could have won it without the need for penalties, but ultimately, however they've gone through, they'll be absolutely elated that they have.
Jenna, they felt, and it's difficult to sum up just how absorbing it was, but they felt like two really crucial periods. One after they'd gone 1-0 up, Paris had a great spell, mm-hmm. and they had a couple of major chances, and had they scored, they would have gone 2-0 up on the night and maybe gone through ultimately before extra time. And then in the second half of normal time, Liverpool had a spell when Donnarumma must have made, I don't know, six or seven amazing saves. And those two periods were an absolute joy to watch, really.
Yeah, it was. I think the momentum chopped and changed throughout the game and the added time there. I think Liverpool started the better team. They get the Paris's goal was completely against the run of play, but like you say, yes, they did get that confidence and they did grow, and that Dembele chance, that heavy touch and Alisson making that save, that's when the momentum shifted back to Liverpool. But yeah, I think both teams, there was one point, it was so end-to-end. One team were counter-attacking, then it was going back the other way, and they were both so hungry for it. They weren't scared to roll the dice, either of them. They threw absolutely everything at it. The players looked absolutely on their knees towards the end of it. And, you know, heartbreak for Liverpool. You felt for Nunes there in tears at the end. But I think, yeah, Paris, I think they deserve it. I think, as you say, they looked like they were, if the game continued, were more likely to get the winner. I felt they looked like they were growing in the added time.
So Darwin Nunez and Curtis Jones saw their penalties saved, Phil. Gianluigi Donnarumma, remember the Euro 2020 final at Wembley, was the hero when Italy lifted that prize. He does have a terrific penalty record. I mean, he's so big in that goal when you see them taking it. And what I found really interesting is his technique. Often you see goalkeepers bouncing around, jumping down on the bar, making themselves big. He almost stood there kind of with his arms by his side, as if he was like almost trying to dupe them into thinking that he might not save it, and then sprung into action just as they kicked it. And it was a technique which worked absolutely brilliantly for him.
He loves a penalty shootout in England, doesn't he? Yeah, Donnarumma. But you're right. There was a moment before the Darwin Nunez penalty, which was the first slip in the shootout, really, when Darwin Nunez was standing with his hands on his hips, just staring at Donnarumma, and Donnarumma was simply staring right back at him, and it was almost a battle of wills right there. And in that sort of situation, Donnarumma has proved just how adept he is at dealing with that sort of pressure, and often coming out on top in the psychological battle, as he did. Still excellent reflexes, of course, as well, and two really impressive saves in the shootout. But I think as much as anything, it was his presence and his belief in his ability that was key in that situation.
And Jenna, you'll know as a player, does it help if you've had a brilliant individual performance going into a moment? The goalkeeper tonight, Donnarumma, but if you're a centre forward or wherever you play, does it give you that extra little bit of a percentage going into these shootouts if you have been amazing for the 120 minutes before?
Yeah, 100%. I think you have games, and we saw it in the first leg with Ellison, that absolutely everything, you know, you're going to win it. You know, even if the odds are against you, you're going to get that save. You're going to make that save time and time again. And I think Donnarumma was the star of the show tonight throughout the game and the extra time. So going into penalties, you back him. You back that confidence. And he backed himself. Like you say, that stare off before every penalty that he was given the penalties is quite daunting if you're a penalty taker. But yeah, 100%. The confidence was oozing out of him as that he's, you know, those are the moments as a goalkeeper you train for, as a kid, winning a penalty shootout in a Champions League game. Like, yeah. That's what you dream of. And, yeah, those moments they relish.
4-1 then they won on penalties after the 1-0 away win at Anfield after extra time. We can hear from the Liverpool captain, Virgil van Dijk, now, who said his side ultimately left to rue the missed chances that they had.
Well, I think even the first half, I think we created dangerous moments. Obviously, you know that they have the quality to create them as well. But yeah, eventually it comes down to penalties, and yeah, unfortunately we lose.
So Virgil van Dijk won't be lifting the Champions League this season despite an excellent individual performance and from his team. Quickly, Phil, I wanted to talk about Paris searching for this first Champions League crown. In the past, we've seen them try with kind of the megastars of Messi and Mbappe, Neymar. They have this team full of some very young players. I mean, you think of Neves at 20 in midfield. They brought Zaire Emery on, who's a teenager. It's a very different Paris team to the one that we saw reach the final or saw knocked out in previous seasons under Luis Enrique. What will this do for this group and their belief that maybe they can be the team that takes the next step for Paris?
I think it's massive for them. It's another step, isn't it? They've come through a penalty shootout, first time they've ever done that in European competition. But you're right, it's a new team, it's a young team. They showed their togetherness. I think they showed their belief throughout, even having lost that first leg and how they lost it. There was still an unbreakable belief that they could come to Anfield and win. And ultimately, although it went the distance, they did. And they're growing together all the time. This is the team who needed a result on the final day of the league phase to even make the knockout stages of the competition. They were 8 points behind Liverpool after the eight games of the league phase, but they finished it in fine fashion, and I think they've only gone from strength to strength with the addition of Kvaratskhelia as well, has been a huge plus in the winter window. And now the belief and the confidence they'll take from this result, they'll feel they can go on and win the whole thing.
Next up for Paris will be the winner of Aston Villa or Club Bruges, who play on Wednesday, and that will be next month. The start of April is the first legs of the quarterfinals. Paris will be there. Who else, though, joined them on Tuesday? To Germany next, Leverkusen were hoping to overturn a hefty 3-0 first leg deficit against their domestic rivals Bayern. Steve Wilson, watch this one.
They're exerting an element of control on this game as it goes around the back, and it's in the back of the net. It's Harry Kane who bundles it in and surely wins the tie for Bayern Munich. Kane square. Well, they've certainly lost it now. They've certainly lost it now, because Alphonso Davies makes it 2-0 and 5-0 on aggregate.
Yeah, Vincent Kompany's team were in control after the 3-0 win in the first leg, where Kane scored twice and Musiala got another, and Harry Kane was the hero again, as you heard. Another goal, another assist. Unsurprisingly, the official UEFA player of the match. And he says he was proud of his team's performance across the two legs.
Two great performances, home and away. To beat this type of team 5-0 overall is shows the type of team that we are. And I think it's never easy when you have kind of a 3-0 lead going into this type of game. But I think from the first minute, the intensity that we showed, the press, and we were the team that was getting the better chances. And we knew that the game was going to open up in the second half, and we just had to be patient. So top performance from everyone. We defended really well. We took our chances when we needed to. And overall, we're delighted to be in the quarterfinal.
Home final, of course, is the prize for Bayern if they can get there in Munich. Kane, the first ever English player to score 10 goals in a single European Cup UEFA Champions League campaign. Another record for him. Jenna, former Tottenham player like yourself, and these two ties against Leverkusen, who won the German title ahead of Bayern last season. There was talk of, we'll find out about the real Bayern, just how good they are. Well, 5-0 on aggregate. That's some performance. Harry Kane at the forefront of it.
Yeah, I mean, hugely dominant across the two legs, wasn't it? I think tonight you needed Leverkusen to get that first goal. They hang in there for the first half, and then, you know, when you've got Kane on the pitch, I've run out of words for him. He just seems to get better and just grow every season. And yeah, unbelievable performance. And there's no surprise that he's at the forefront of it again.
Well, here we can hear from the Leverkusen boss, Xabi Alonso, who says his side ultimately gave themselves a mountain to climb after the first leg in Munich last week.
Well, I think that we are out of the Champions League not because of today. I think that it was because of the second half that we played in the Allianz. You know that you get punished when you make mistakes, and unluckily we made them, and it was going to be very difficult. We tried from the beginning to keep the team believed that we could. And we missed that moment of or lack of quality in the box to score that goal that could have changed a little bit the mood from us and from them. And it was not possible, so it is what it is. It's the highest level we have been competing till today, and now we look forward.
Yeah, Leverkusen, who have achieved so much under Xabi Alonso. It won't be their year this year in the UEFA Champions League. It might be Bayern's, Kane's opener, then his assist for Alphonso Davies on the volley to make it two, putting them through 5-0 on aggregate. And into the quarterfinals yet again, where they will play the winner of the match, we'll be discussing next.
You've heard the action, now watch it. Download the official UEFA Champions League app to watch free highlights from tonight's matches from midnight wherever you are.
Well, elsewhere on Tuesday, final travelled to Milan for the second time in the knockout phase, this time hoping to overturn a 2-0 first leg deficit against Inter. Mark Scott describes the action.
And Thuram! It's terrific! A thunderbolt from Marcus Thuram has Inter cruising through to the quarterfinals. It's Jakub Modra. It's in. A very, very rare goal conceded by Inter, and Feyenoord are level on the night. Çalhanoğlu, he went the right way, did Vellenreuther, but couldn't get anything on it. And Inter now can surely start to think about their quarter-final in this season's Champions League.
Inter, very impressive. They will take on Bayern in the quarter-finals. That is some tie, a repeat of the 2010 final. And I imagine that Diego Milito will be getting a few calls for interviews to reminisce about that match. The Argentine striker who scored two goals at the Bernabeu as Inter won 2-0 to complete a memorable season under Jose Mourinho. And Phil, I mean, we heard from Mark in commentary, just the second goal in the whole of this competition that Inter conceded from the penalty spot. But again, ultimately they won on the night, they won comfortably on aggregate. Definitely amongst the serious contenders to go all the way.
Very much so, proving their pedigree. It's going to be a huge game, of course, next up against Bayern. But they got the job done. And yeah, you're right, the defensive record in this competition is remarkable. They based their run to the final a couple of seasons back on a similar defensive record, didn't they? And they've managed to replicate that again. I think even for final to score a goal is an achievement in itself, given that run that Inter have been on defensively and all the issues with injuries that Feyenoord have had, the change of coach recently as well. And I think, again, a lot of the damage in that tie was done in the first leg. It was a huge ask for them. Sounds like they've acquitted themselves well, but it's another show of strength from Inter in this competition. They've proven, I think, their pedigree over the last few seasons now and are in decent shape to give it another really good go.
They certainly are. Simone Inzaghi's team back in the quarterfinals of the competition. There was one early match as well. Benfica made the trip to Barcelona to take on Barca. The Portuguese side trailed 1-0 from the first leg in Lisbon. Here's how this one unfolded in front of Simon Brotherton.
Lamine Yamal, and still wonderful play, and across it goes, and Barcelona have the lead, created by Lamine Yamal and finished once again by Rafinha. And it's Andreas Schelderup who will take this first corner of the match for them. And it's 1-1, sensational! Nicolas Otamendi, the captain for Benfica. Responses don't come much quicker than that. And Bruno Lage's team draw level just seconds after conceding at the other end. And it's Lamine Yamal. And still, he fancies this. Oh, what a goal! What a player, what a moment in the Champions League! The whole stadium rises to that. There aren't too many Benfica players back here now to try to contend with Barcelona. Here comes Rafinha! Devastating. Another laser-like finish from the Brazilian.
Last won the Champions League in 2015, Barcelona, a decade ago. But this group, sensational this season, and indeed tonight against Benfica. Rafinha 2, Lamine Yamal with 1. And here are the thoughts of their manager, Hansi Flick.
Absolutely was a target for us. We want to go so fast or so long. For us, it's really important that we keep going on this way, how we play today, because I think also the fans, everyone could see that the team is ready for this. And we played against a really good team. The coach of them did a great job, so I was really happy about the result. And I'm really happy about that.
UEFA player of the match was Pedri. You heard from Simon's commentary. Lamine Yamal was also quite extraordinary. His assist for the opening goal, on first view, Jenny, you thought a rare occasion. I think he might have misjudged a shot. But actually, he picked him out with the most gorgeous ball. You saw with his eyes, it's exactly the pass he meant to play. He followed it up with an amazing curling finish. And at 17 years and 241 days, yes, 17 years, the youngest player in UEFA Champions League match to both score and assist. We're talking about a remarkable, I was going to say talent, but he's also in the present, right? Because he's just helped his team reach the last eight of the Champions League.
I mean, it's quite incredible for a player of that age to be having an impact like he is in any team, in any league, but to be able to do that in a Barcelona team where the pedigree is so, so high. But I think, you know, when you're in an environment with the best players in the world, it can only aid his development. But yeah, a huge performance from him. And I think the fact that, you know, many people will think that assist was meant to be a shot, where his vision, you know, his quality to pick that pass and execute it, is not many players will be able to do that. And especially for a 17-year-old, is incredible.
Yeah, go and watch it on UEFA.com and on the Champions League app. It was a real thing of beauty. Rafinha, by the way, 27 goals now this season in all competitions. His numbers at Barcelona have been amazing. He's turned into a real goal-scoring forward. And Barcelona will take on the winner of Wednesday's second leg between Lille and Dortmund. which is at 1-1 ahead of that second leg in northern France. A reminder that UEFA Champions League Matchday Live is back on air from 8:45 on Wednesday night, 15 minutes ahead of our featured commentary match, the small matter of Atletico against Real Madrid, part two.
Played inside the fullback here. Rodrigo's got inside. He's inside the penalty area. Left footed shot into the back of the net. What a start from Real Madrid and what a finish from Rodrigo. That was sensational. Griezmann now to Alvarez, left hand edge of the area. Comes in field, wins the challenge, shoots, scores. What a goal! Julian Alvarez has made it 1-1. That is a super goal. Mendy back to Brahim Diaz, inside the penalty area, squeezes between two, gets round three and scores. What a goal that is from Brahim Diaz. The first goal was super tonight, the second superb. I think the third just topped it. And Real Madrid back in front.
You don't want to miss this one. Real Madrid with a 2-1 lead to take to Atletico in the Madrid derby. And if the first leg's anything to go by, Jenna, these two are battling out right at the top in the Spanish league as well. We scored three goals, you heard it there. Amazing individual quality. What are you expecting the second leg of this tie to be like?
Absolutely the same. Obviously, you go in with a narrow scoreline. Rivals in their league domestically. On the European stage, I think it's going to be a huge night of football. Can't really call it, to be honest. It's too narrow and the star quality on the pitch
is huge. It's and the huge. Metropolitano is going to be very, very loud. I can assure you of that. We'll have every kick of that match live. You never know. It could be extra time. It could even be penalties like we saw at Anfield between Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain. Wednesday's other games then. I mentioned Lille Dortmund. That is the early game, which is at 1-1. Lille were very impressive and they have had a brilliant season in the Champions League, beating some of the biggest and most historic clubs in it, including Real Madrid, Atletico. They've come up against Juventus and Liverpool as well already. What can they do to Dortmund? Can they make it through to the quarterfinals? Arsenal take on PSV. They are 7-1 up on aggregate and huge favourites to go through and to meet the winner of Atletico or Real Madrid. And Aston Villa host Club Brugge. They're 3-1 up on aggregate. Their manager Unai Emery is taking nothing for granted, though, ahead of the second leg at Villa Park.
But the respect is massive. The respect of them is massive. The result is for us to follow the same game plan we had there. We are going to play tomorrow 90 minutes, the second 90 minutes, the second leg. We are ready for 90 minutes to compete. We are ready in case it's extra time. And we are ready in case we will need penalty shoot.
Well, Unai Emery and Villa now know, Phil, that if they see that one through and win, he'll be going back to his former club, Paris Saint-Germain, in the quarterfinals. I know you've watched a lot of Villa live this season. You've interviewed Unai Emery. What have you made of their Champions League campaign on their return to this competition for the first time since the 1980s?
I think they've been excellent. I know, obviously, Unai Emery has plenty of experience in the competition and has been integral to what they've done. But for a club to come back into this competition after so long away and slot in seamlessly, really, and progress as they have done to this point and get themselves in an excellent position to progress further, it shouldn't be underestimated, the difficulty of doing that, particularly juggling the domestic commitments as well, because when a club isn't used to doing that season in, season out, we've seen how difficult it can be, and they've managed to maintain that challenge, look impressive. They're right not to underestimate Club Brugge, who've been brilliant in the competition. Yeah. I think this season any side that could put out Atalanta in the knockout phase playoffs as they did deserves full respect, which makes that first leg result even more impressive, I think, for Aston Villa, because they really have given themselves an excellent shot at progress. And what for Unai Emery in particular, yeah, would be a match of real magnitude, wouldn't it, against his former club?
It would. The Belgium side, you mentioned the Atalanta win, they wrapped it up with an away win in the second leg. So they'll head to Birmingham with plenty of hope, but it's Aston Villa with a 3-1 lead after two late goals in the first leg. And at 1-1, Club Brugge had a lot of big chances. So that one certainly isn't done and dusted, as you heard from Unai Emery. Let's head back to Tuesday, though, a recap of the scores. Liverpool 0, Paris 1. 1-1 on aggregate. Paris winning 4-1 on penalties. Leverkusen 0, Bayern 2. Bayern through 5-0 on aggregate. Inter 2, Feyenoord 1. 4-1 on aggregate to Ineriçuri. And Barcelona 3, Benfica 1. 4-1 on aggregate to Barcelona. Before we go, let's get the thoughts of both managers involved in that breathtaking game at Anfield. Liverpool's Arne Slot, but first, the victorious Paris boss, Luis Enrique.
I think both of the teams deserve to go to the next phase. We overcome them in Paris. They played, I think, better than us here, but I think my team show here in Anfield, in a special place, special stadium, great personality, great character. We try to play our best, but it was very difficult because they are so intense and the atmosphere was great. But I think any of the both teams deserve to qualify.
I think it was the best game of football where I was ever involved in. Incredible performance, especially if you compare it with last week. First 20-25 minutes, we just were all over them, created chance after chance, and all of a sudden we were 1-0 down. So probably was almost the opposite. The luck we had last week, we ran out of luck after last week. Maybe that was it, because the margins were so small tonight.
I think it's hard to disagree with Arne Slot there. It was a spellbinding at times match between Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain. A brilliant watch and a brilliant listen on Match Day Live. Phil, Jenna, I need your moment of the night. If you can rack your brains after that 120 minutes and penalties. Jenna, you have the honours of going first.
Oh, thank you. the first Donnarumma save in the penalty shootout against Nunes. I think that was kind of set the tone then, the confidence and the fear in the... I think it was Curtis Jones who stepped up next with Donnarumma staring down his neck. So for me, yeah, that moment for me was moment of the night.
And I think that there was so many chances in the game, but the one that kind of stands out with hindsight, that it just wasn't going to be Liverpool's day, was when Gerald Quansah's header came back off the inside of the post, because it was a brilliant ball in from Andy Robertson. It was an excellent header.
Yeah.
Looked like they'd done absolutely everything right. And it kind of summed up the story for them, because it was a brilliant Liverpool performance. They didn't do anything wrong and they're out of the Champions League, really. And I think that moment maybe summed up that it just wasn't going to happen for them.
Yeah, he had to come on for Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was forced off. That might have been the story that we were talking about after the game, that Quansah was then the hero. But we're talking millimetres between that going in and not, and ultimately it was Paris Saint-Germain through to the quarterfinals. Phil, just before we go, we actually have to change something that I said, because I've been talking about Lamine Yamal's first goal as a brilliant assist. I was convinced watching the replay that with his eyes he proved it, but the boy himself has been talking.
He has, yeah. I've got to admit, I was with you as well. But initially, we thought that's the shot that's gone wrong, and we thought otherwise after the replay. Well, he's been talking after the game, and a quote from the interview: for the assist, I tried to shoot, and Rafinha turned it into a goal.
Unbelievable. Maybe he's being far too modest.
If only he hadn't said anything.
Absolutely. Brilliant performance from him. And from Barcelona, one of the four teams through on this Champions League Tuesday. What an evening we were treated to across Europe, in particular with our commentary game at Anfield. My thanks to Phil and Jenna Scalacci for their company. Don't forget to download the official Champions League podcast shortly after every match night, and join Match Day Live on Wednesday for Atletico against Real Madrid, another huge round of 16 second leg encounter. We'll bring you the goals as they go in from the night's other ties as well. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.